Okay, so get this ready for a deep dive today into shareholder activism.
Oh, yeah.
And the limits of ordinary business.
Sounds very exciting.
It is. A
Yes.
church, a retail giant, and a legal showdown over gun sales. What could be better?
I mean, this case, D Trinity Wall Street v. Walmart Stores, Inc. is fascinating because it all comes down to this SEC rule,
Okay.
14A8 Heisen, that has huge E implications for shareholder activism.
Really?
You can kind of think about it as the get out of jail free card for
Yeah.
companies that want to block shareholder
Oh,
proposals.
interesting. So that's exactly what Walmart was trying to
Pretty
do,
much.
right?
Yeah.
To block it. So can you give us a little background about this case and how this whole ordinary business exclusion came up?
Absolutely. So imagine this. It's 2014, Trinity Wall Street, an Episcopal parish is a Walmart shareholder. They are really, really concerned about gun violence and Walmart selling high-capacity
Yeah,
firearms.
of course.
So what do? They file a proposal.
Makes sense.
But their strategy is what's interesting. They didn't go after the gun sales directly. They instead asked Walmart to come up with some broad standards for selling any products that could endanger public safety or damage the company's reputation,
Right.
or clash with its family-friendly brand image.
So they were trying to be clever,
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
going around it.
yeah. Sounds like good governance on the surface.
Yeah, totally. It does. But Walmart didn't like it.
Of course not.
They saw right through it and
Yeah.
realized that they were trying to control what products they could sell.
Yeah.
That's when they used their get out of jail free card,
Yeah.
SEC Rule 14A8I, the ordinary business exclusion. They said, hey, deciding what products to sell, that's like the core of our business operations. Shareholders shouldn't be able to tell us what to do.
So this rule is basically saying shareholders can't tell a company how to run its day-to-day business.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It's there to prevent management from being flooded with proposals that try to control everything the company does.
I see. But you said earlier that there's an exception to this rule.
Right.
How did that come up in this Trinity case? You're exactly right. The ordinary business exclusion doesn't apply if the proposal brings up some really important, significant social policy issues. And that's what Trinity said. They said, this isn't only about guns. It's about public safety and corporate responsibility. And these are things that go way beyond Walmart's day-to-day business.
So it becomes a question of where do you draw the line between just ordinary business and something that has wider implications for society?
Exactly.
What do the courts say about that?
Well, before we get to the court's decision, there's another interesting part of this story, the SEC's no action letter process. So companies can ask the SEC staff for advice about whether a shareholder proposal can be excluded using this rule.
So this is like a round before you even go to court.
Exactly. And in this case, the SEC staff actually agreed with Walmart. They said, yeah, we think you can probably exclude this proposal.
So Trinity must have been kind of bummed at this point.
Maybe. But they didn't give up. They took the case to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Good for them.
And this is where it gets really interesting. The court made a two-part test to figure out if a proposal could be excluded under this ordinary business exception.
Okay, two-part test. So what was that?
So the first part is all about substance over style. Basically, the court was saying, look, we're not going to be tricked by clever wording. We're going to get to the heart of it. What's this proposal really
You see
about?
through the BS.
Exactly. And they realized that the proposal was about Walmart's product choices, even though it was framed as a governance issue.
So they were focusing on the real issue.
Exactly. The second part gets to the details of how a company works.
Yep.
It asks, is the proposal tied up with the company's regular business activities? The court agreed with Walmart on this one. They said that for a retailer, figuring out what to sell is a constant balancing act between safety, profit, and brand image, which are all part of ordinary business.
So for a big company like Walmart, what they choose to sell is so important to what they do that shareholders can't just come in and tell them what to do.
That's how the court saw it. And to make their point clear, they use this phrase for major retailers. A policy issue rarely transcends if it treads on management's responsibility, crafting a product mix satisfying consumer demand.
That's a pretty strong statement. It sounds like the court was drawing a line between what shareholders can be concerned about and what decisions are up to management.
For sure. But this isn't the end of the story. There's another layer to this case because Judge Schwartz had a concurring opinion. She agreed with the result, but she wasn't so sure about how the majority was thinking about it more broadly.
A concurring opinion. Okay, things are getting interesting. What were her concerns?
Well, she was worried that this ruling could make it harder for shareholders to bring up proposals on important issues, even if those issues have a clear impact on society. But we'll dig into that more in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good. Back again. And, you know, we just talked about how the court drew a pretty clear line in the sand about what's considered ordinary business.
Right.
But you were saying that Judge Schwartz had some issues with where that line is actually drawn.
Yeah, she did. She had some good reasons to be worried, too.
Okay.
She thought that this ruling might actually discourage shareholders from being active, especially when it comes to things like climate change or workplace diversity.
Oh, I see.
You know, really important things like fair labor practices.
Yeah, so it could make it harder for shareholders to hold companies responsible for those broader social and environmental issues.
That's the concern. If companies can just say that almost any issue is part of their ordinary business, then shareholders have a really high bar to clear. It's like giving companies a shield to deflect any proposal about their day-to-day work.
Yeah, that's a problem, especially now when investors are really looking at a company's track record on social and environmental stuff, not just their finances.
Right. It's a big deal. And this case shows the tension between two ways of thinking about how companies should be run.
Right.
One is all about making as much money as possible for shareholders.
Yeah.
And the other is about companies having responsibilities to lots of different people, like employees and communities and the environment.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
And so with Trinity v. Walmart, it seems like the court is leaning towards just making money for shareholders and giving management control, even if there are wider social concerns.
It's possible to see it that way. And this is where it gets interesting. Judge Schwartz also had a problem with Trinity's proposal for another reason.
Okay.
She thought it was too vague, especially the part about family values. And this actually connects to another SEC rule, 14A8I3, that says shareholder proposals have to be super clear and specific.
Oh, so even if the ordinary business thing wasn't an issue, Trinity's proposal might have been rejected because it was too broad.
Yeah, it could have. And this is a super important lesson for shareholders who are trying to use proposals to change things. Being precise is really, really important.
Yeah.
Vague language can kill a proposal. It gives companies a way to fight it and get it thrown out.
So what should companies and shareholders do after this case? What did they learn?
Well, for companies, the main takeaway is to keep really good records.
Okay.
Have a clear and logical reason for why a proposal is ordinary business. The more they can connect it to their core operations and show how it would mess with their everyday decisions, the stronger their cases.
So it's not enough to just say, this is our business, you can't touch it.
Right. They need to show their work, basically.
I see.
And for shareholders, it's a little more complicated. They need to pick their battles.
Yeah.
If they're going after a company's operations, it has to be a really big problem, something that clearly has a social or environmental impact. They need to go for a home run, not just a base hit.
So no more trying to go after everything, just the really big issues.
Exactly.
But what if shareholders are more focused on how the company is governed, not the day-to-day stuff?
Then they need to make their proposals super clear and strong.
Okay.
No vague language or anything that seems like they're trying to micromanage the company. Remember what Judge Schwartz said? Vague proposals can be deadly.
Got it. So shareholders need to be focused and choose their battles carefully. Go after a huge social issue that's obviously not ordinary business, or stick to how the company is run and stay away from the specifics of their operations. No more messing around in the middle.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And there's one more thing about this case that we need to talk about, the SEC's no action letter process.
Right. We talked about that before. It's like a first ruling from the SEC.
Yeah. And in this case, it showed that those letters aren't always the final word.
So even if the SEC staff agrees with the company, the shareholders can still fight that in court.
Exactly. This case, Trinity v. Walmart, is the perfect example. The SEC staff initially said that Walmart could exclude the proposal, but the Third Circuit said no.
So it's a reminder that the no action letter is important, but it's just one step.
Right, right.
And in the end, it's the courts that have to decide these complicated cases.
Totally. And the court didn't just decide this case. They also sent a message to the SEC. They basically said, hey, these things are getting more complicated, especially with ESG investing. We need you to tell us more clearly how this ordinary business exclusion should be used with these new social and environmental concerns.
So it's like they tossed the ball back to the SEC and said, you need to give us more guidance.
Right.
What do you think that means? Could we see the SEC making new rules or explaining these rules differently?
It's definitely possible. And it's something that companies and investors should watch closely. How the SEC responds to this could have a big impact on how shareholder activism works in the future.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Feels like we've covered so much ground just unpacking this one case, Trinity Wall Street v. Walmart.
I know, right?
But I think it's time for the big question. What does it all mean? What's the long-term impact of this decision?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And it's one that's going to keep unfolding for a while. But one of the big takeaways is how this case might discourage shareholder activism, especially on social and environmental issues.
Hmm.
You know, we keep talking about this chilling effect.
Right.
But I'm not sure I get it. Can you break it down for me? How could this one case make shareholders less likely to try and make a difference?
Yeah.
Okay, so say you're a shareholder and you're really passionate about climate change. You see this company that's not doing enough about sustainability.
Yeah.
And you want to use your shareholder power to push them in a greener direction.
Of course.
But then you remember Trinity v. Walmart?
Oh.
And how the court said that if a proposal even touches on a company's daily operations, it could be ordinary business and tossed out.
So you might not even bother filing a proposal because, you know, the company could use this case to block it.
Exactly. It creates uncertainty. It makes shareholders second guess themselves.
Oh, I see.
Is my proposal going to be seen as a real attempt to fix a big social problem? Or will they just say I'm meddling in the company's ordinary business?
Right.
That uncertainty can really stop people from taking action. And it could mean fewer proposals, especially on those important social and environmental issues.
It almost feels like we're going backwards, especially now when everyone is talking about ESG investing and holding companies accountable for what they do in the world.
I get that. And that's why the court saying the SEC needs to give clearer guidance is such a big deal.
Right.
They basically told the SEC, hey, you need to step up and explain how this ordinary business exclusion should work, especially with all these new ESG issues.
So how could the SEC actually make things clearer?
Well, they could explain the existing rules differently.
Okay.
Maybe give specific examples of what kinds of proposals would be considered ordinary business and what wouldn't be. They could also make new guidelines just for ESG proposals because those often overlap with the company's operations in tricky ways.
So maybe they need to create a whole new system for judging these proposals. One that takes into account all the complexities of ESG investing.
Yeah, that might be what's needed. It's a big job for the SEC, but it's really important if we want to make sure that shareholders can still use their power to create positive change.
So this case might look like a win for companies that want to keep control over what they do.
Yeah.
But it's also a warning. It shows that the rules are always changing, and both companies and shareholders need to adapt.
Definitely. And it's not just the SEC that needs to give clarity.
Right.
Shareholders can also do things to make their proposals stronger and less likely to get rejected on ordinary business grounds.
Yeah, we talked about that being strategic.
Exactly.
But can we go a little deeper? What are some specific things they can do to make sure their proposals have a chance?
One thing is to think long term.
Okay.
Instead of trying to force immediate changes, frame your proposals as ways to create value over time.
So connect the dots between ESG and the company's profit. Make it harder for them to say that those concerns aren't part of their ordinary business.
Right. So instead of saying, stop using this chemical, you could say, make a plan to switch to more sustainable materials. It'll lower your risks and make you more competitive in the long run.
You're talking their language, the language of risk management, brand reputation, and long-term value.
Exactly. And another strategy is to team up with other shareholders.
Oh, yeah, power in numbers.
When lots of shareholders work together and speak with one voice, companies can't ignore them as easily, especially if you can get those big institutional investors involved. They have a lot of influence.
And don't forget public pressure. Shareholder activism works best when it's part of a bigger campaign with public support, media attention, and consumer advocacy.
That's right. You need a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah. Investors pushing from one side, consumers demanding change from the other, and the media shining a light on it all.
That's how you get real change. And it's why, even with all the challenges, shareholder activism is still an important tool. It's how we hold companies accountable and build a better future.
Well said. So to wrap up our deep dive into Trinity Wall Street v. Walmart, I think the key message is this. The world of shareholder activism is complicated, and it's always changing.
For sure.
This case has created some new obstacles,
yeah.
But it's also a chance for both companies and investors to step up their game, be more strategic, and find new ways to make positive change.
I couldn't agree more. And it's such an exciting time to be following all of this. I bet we'll be talking about the ripple effects of this case for years to come. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been great. Wow. And all our listeners out there, remember, stay engaged, stay informed, and keep using your voices to make the corporate world a better place. See you next time.